This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. And John, it's always a pleasure to have you with us.
Gosh, it's always a pleasure to be here. You're a cool respite from this unbearable heat in Washington, D.C.
Have been in the midst of a heat wave over the past few weeks. John, just today here on Thursday, the U.S. Senate overcoming the final hurdles to pass the compromised version of financial reform. Of course, this is the latest major piece of legislation that it appears the president will succeed in getting through, along with the stimulus and the health care bill and some others along the way. Is this a record the Democrats, though, will be proud to run on come November?
Well, I'd have to say to you, being as polite as I can, ask them yourself. It appears at their meeting behind closed doors this week, if you believe the Washington Post, many of them were upset that having carried all this water for the president, he is very reluctant and even very much in a refuse mode about going on the campaign trail for them. In other words, he's saying, nice knowing you folks. I might add that while the president has been reluctant to campaign, the greatest campaigner of all on the Democratic side is out there in full force, Bill Clinton. Even Robert Gibbs at the White House, the president's top spokesman, said yesterday, Bill Clinton has been doing this since I've been in politics and before, and he's very good at it. So, in effect, the president is saying, nice to know you've carried more water for me than Gunga Dean. Bill will help.
Very interesting. John, another flap this week, of course, is over the president's latest moratorium for drilling in the Gulf of Mexico. Do you expect more court challenges, or will we just see a repeat of what we've already seen? If he loses again, we'll just see another one.
Exactly. It's going to go again and again and again. Look, the president owes a lot to the environmentalists, the so-called Green Army that was so key to his election, and he is going to reward them. So these suits will go on, and these actions will go on. And in the meantime, no one mentions, or few mention, that it was the environmental constraints that forced BP to go out so far off the coast and so deep that no human being can get down and do the necessary plugging up.
John, you mentioned the midterms, and of course a major factor in this year's midterm elections and primaries and general election is the emergent Tea Party, which of course came up around tax day of 2009. This week, the Tea Party movement was the target of the NAACP at the annual convention of that group in Kansas City, eventually toning down their language, initially trying to brand the Tea Party as a racist movement, now saying there are certain racist elements within the Tea Party. Your thoughts on that and whether it has any impact on how the Tea Party is perceived?
Every movement, whether it's the environmentalists, the gay rights movement, whatever, is going to attract some supporters who are a little too vociferous and go beyond the pale. I'm certain there are some within the Tea Party movement who stretch the bounds of decency. That's common with mass movements in American history. On the other hand, to brand the entire movement as racist because of the actions of a few is ridiculous at this point. And I think the NAACP should take a good long look at their own history before they start condemning others on that. Now, that said, I find that the people who are speaking out the most and who the national news media is paying attention to are the black Tea Partiers or other minorities who belong to the movement. I saw this firsthand when I was in Philadelphia, where Mr. Kevin Kelly, himself a white man who lives in a predominantly black neighborhood, has been mobilizing African Americans within his own budding Tea Party movement. The chairman of the Tea Party movement in New York is himself an African American, and we are going to start hearing other voices saying the NAACP doesn't speak for us.
John, in addition to the whole fight over the oil moratorium and so forth, we're expecting perhaps a push on cap and trade before the August recess. Certainly John Kerry and Joe Lieberman would like that. Will it happen?
No. The president knows full well that he's going to make a few cases of what we call window dressing, strong speeches on the measure, more calls for action in dealing with climate control and climate change, but that the votes simply aren't there. Senator Jim Inhofe, the ranking Republican on the Senate Environment Committee, assured me cap and trade is dead in the Senate, no matter what the House did. And the fact that Lindsey Graham, the lone Republican on the climate change bill, is now off it speaks volumes about the lack of support. When did you think Lindsey Graham would be cheered by conservatives within his own party?
Doesn't happen too often on some of the bigger issues, John, but let's talk about another member of the Republican conference in the U.S. Senate, one who was a poster boy, a folk hero just a few months ago. People just couldn't get enough of Scott Brown. And now on some of these more recent votes, especially financial reform and a couple of others, he's disappointed the rank and file of the conservative base. Has the bloom come off the Scott Brown rose?
No, I don't think so. It's very timely that you bring this up, Greg, because I just had a meeting with Jason Matera, our editor, who wants an article and a complete analysis of Scott Brown's voting record for next week. It's an assignment I look forward to because whatever you think of him, number one, he's from Massachusetts. That says a lot right there. You are not going to elect, say, Jim Inhofe or John Boehner in Massachusetts. And the symbolism of the man winning Ted Kennedy's seat while running on the Republican ticket and opposing health care is something that has reinvigorated the conservative movement and the Republican Party in these midterm elections. For that, I think that even when I don't agree with him, I give Scott Brown a pass.
John, just a minute or so left in our conversation here. We just learned on Wednesday that last week, Vice President Cheney, who had been in the hospital a couple of weeks ago, undergoing major heart surgery to implant a device that helps his heart work. He's suffering from congestive heart failure. He's had five heart attacks, as most people know. Your thoughts on the vice president and what he's going to be able to contribute to the political scene given his deteriorating condition?
Well, he's a former vice president who's almost 70 years old. I believe he turned 70 this year, and he's had a long history of heart trouble. I can remember when he was a first-time candidate for the U.S. House of Representatives, and he had a heart attack and quit his two-pack-a-day smoking habit. That was 32 years ago, and unfortunately, there's been recurrences like this for him. Look, I think you will note, if you follow the political news carefully, that one is reading less about Dick Cheney and more about his daughter, Liz Cheney, who is becoming the family spokesman on politics. Most recently, she called for the resignation of Republican National Chairman Michael Steele. And when you look to a Cheney for leadership in the future, keep your eye on Liz.
Last 30 seconds real quick, John. You just mentioned Michael Steele. It's been a couple of weeks now since he said that Afghanistan was Obama's war. Is the fire still just as hot to get him out of office, or is he going to survive this?
He'll survive. And as he said recently in Colorado, I ain't going anywhere. The fact is that Republicans, whatever problems they have with Chairman Steele, know that it would be folly and very problematic to try to replace him in the middle of a heated election year.
Will he survive into the next cycle, though?
Hey, January is a long way off. 2 weeks is an eternity in politics, as James Baker said. Give me a break.
We'll find out. John, great to have you with us as always.
Always a pleasure to be here. I feel the perspiration's faded away, and I'm just glowing now.
John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.